This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell. It's great to be here with you today, December 5th. I can hardly believe we're already in December, rushing our way towards Christmas and the new year. And I don't know how that year went so fast. I want to make a quick announcement. I'm always looking for wonderful guests for my show. So if you have a story of authenticity to tell, how being authentic has improved your life, just give me a call at 954-243-7297, or you can contact me through my website, lifecoachmari.com. That's lifecoachmari.com. And today I have a very special guest who's going to talk about the fact that she lost her daughter to pediatric cancer, a very tragic thing that she's turned into a celebration of her daughter's life. Her name is Sue Matthews. She's author of Paint Your Hair Blue, A Celebration of Life with Hope for Tomorrow in the Face of Pediatric Cancer. She lost her daughter, Taylor, to pediatric cancer and will share the struggles her family experienced and why she's so passionate about helping others. Taylor actually created a foundation and Sue runs the foundation. She is president. And the foundation has actually raised $1.6 million for cancer research, and they create funds for innovative research for treatments that can reach sick children today. When Taylor was ill, there were no innovative treatments. There were very old treatments. And this is something that Sue is very passionate about. Sue, it's so good to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you, Mary, for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So you had told me how you lost your daughter, Taylor, to the cancer and what little support there was from the medical community. Would you tell us a little bit about your experience?
We were absolutely stunned by Taylor's diagnosis. I had left her backpack in school, and I thought I was taking her for a routine pulmonology exam. Thought she would be out of school for an hour. The doctor took an x-ray and found out that she had metastasized to her lungs. So by morning, I was dropping my three beautiful girls off at school, and by afternoon, I was fighting for my daughter's life. We, my husband and I and our family, have no medical background whatsoever, and nor did any of our friends. So we were at a loss. Suddenly, you're hit with treatment protocols, names you can't pronounce, and you're in a total shock. Like, you can't even believe. Like, I tucked my daughter in last night. So we had to learn the medical world by trial and error, which, from a layman's standpoint, that's very difficult.
Wow. And so I know that you're really passionate about helping others navigate this experience, anyone who has a child with pediatric cancer. Tell us why you're so passionate about this and what your mission for this is.
My passion stems from two things. One of my passions is my daughter, Taylor, we were shocked when her treatment protocol was 30 to 40 years old and is now 50 years old. There has been no advances in her type of cancer. And she said to me, "Mommy, how are all these children suffering like me? And the government doesn't care. The government only gives 4% of the National Cancer Institute's budget is allocated to all pediatric cancers." So she started a foundation within weeks of her diagnosis. And I truly, although she did not survive, I truly think it gave her hope and faith and gave her something to do and to do good things in the world while she was in treatment. So I continue her legacy of helping others. That's one thing. And then as a mother, you can take two paths. You can be a victim and basically stay in bed or stay at home for the rest of your life because you lost your child, or you can get out in the world and engage. And for me, what better could I do than to help other families with children with cancer and save lives?
Wow. I commend you, Sue. I mean, I can't even imagine what it's like. And the fact that Taylor, who is so young, I mean, 11 years old, decided that she would start a foundation. I mean, what a legacy that she has left. What a legacy for someone so young. There's people who live their entire life and aren't able to accomplish that. So I think that's just absolutely beautiful. And that's something that you take away with you forever. And so tell us a little bit about what role authenticity plays in all of this. Or if you want to speak to that comment, that's okay.
Well, authenticity plays a huge role in our lives. As an author and as the president of the foundation, it gives me credibility and trustworthiness. But more importantly, as a person, I speak the raw, honest truth. It never leaves anyone second guessing. The biggest comment that I've gotten from my book, Paint Your Hair Blue, is it's so honest, which, quite frankly, from my standpoint, I just wrote it as I would speak and how I would journal. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it as so honest. But living your life free, not worrying about what other people are saying, being authentic all the time gives me the freedom to be my own self, gives me the freedom to love people. I was the resident priest in my house. My husband used to laugh. I'd put each girl to bed. It would take 20 to 30 minutes to put them to bed because I had to hear their little things that they did wrong. I pushed somebody on the basketball field, and they had to put all their sins in for the day so they could go to bed with a clean slate, which is what I do every day now. If I think I unintentionally hurt someone, I'll say I'm sorry immediately. And it gives people the freedom to know that I'm always going to be honest and I'm always going to be truthful and they know where they stand.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped me in the medical world. It helped me in the medical world because I wanted answers from the doctors that sometimes they weren't willing to give me.
Yeah, absolutely. That is so true. You know, it takes a lot of courage to be authentic. That's why I call my show Dare to Be Authentic. But there is an amazing freedom. And once you are authentic, like you say, it kind of gives you an empowered feeling. That's why you could ask those questions of your doctors. You know, most people are afraid of doctors. You know, they see them as an authority over themselves, and they are afraid to ask questions or to push. But you weren't like that, and I think that's wonderful. And more people need to learn to do that. I think that's one of the things that you're modeling for people who have to face, you know, medical crisis and talk to medical professionals, that we have the right to ask questions and to be given answers and sometimes to push for those answers. So, Sue, what is the main message that you want to bring to the public?
Well, I want to bring to the public, in Taylor's life, she was a spark plug from the day she was born. She was born with scratches all over her face. I looked at the doctor like, I knew she was my second, so she wasn't going to look like a perfect little baby. But it was appalling what she looked like. And the doctor said to me, she just scratched her way out of the womb. She was ready to live. And from the day she hit this earth to the day she passed, she was ready to live. She would never watch TV. I finished her homework in a play date. It was 5:00. She'd say to me, Mommy, what should I do? And I'd say, I don't know, run laps around the house. Maybe that will make you tired. But she was so feisty and so much fun that her traits lasted throughout her diagnosis. She made cancer a sideline in her life. She celebrated every moment as if it were her last before her illness and certainly during her illness. She never thought she was going to die. I would tell people, illness or not illness, we only have today. Life is a gift. We just saw President Bush's funeral this morning. Life is a gift. Cherish it. Don't spend your day being jealous of somebody else or being annoyed or mad. Let it pass. We only have today.
So true.
Live in the
that
moment.
That is so wise. And most of us don't live that way. We get caught up in the little details of life, like you say, and the annoyance, the traffic, whatever it is, and it's just not worth it. What a beautiful example Taylor led. That was her personality, though, to just live life fully. And what a beautiful example.
When she was on chemo, she would say, I'm going out with my friends, even though I'm sick as a dog. They're vomiting from drinking. I'll just be vomiting from chemotherapy. It's all the same. She just didn't miss a night out. She didn't miss anything in life. And it sounds cliche what I'm saying, but if you really can make that part of your life, you have so much of a better life. You truly do.
It's
and
true.
I learn by example.
Yeah. Mm, beautiful. And I'm just going to go back to what you said before because it's touching my heart right now. When you said that you could make two choices as a mother, to be a victim and stay in bed all the time, you know, depressed or whatever, or you could live your life the way Taylor would want you to live it. You know, that was a very courageous choice as well. Nobody wants to come out and face the world after what you've been through. But I just applaud you for that, for the courage to do that, to stand up for what Taylor, you know, for the example that she led of celebrating life, of living life fully. And I think it's just a beautiful thing. So
no, you know what I always am reminded, Mari, of what she said, her famous saying, and somehow she got stickers printed and she put them all over her notebooks that said, "Life sucks, wear a helmet." That was her to the epitome. And you know what? Whenever I run into a little crisis, I feel her pinching me and saying, "Mommy, get with the program."
Oh, my gosh. So she literally had stickers that said that say?
I don't know how she Googled it, you know, 10 years ago. It wasn't as easy. But she somehow ordered stickers that said, "Life sucks, wear a helmet," and put it all over her notebook. That was her motto.
That's hilarious. Oh, my gosh. That is so adorable and so hilarious. Very good. So we're going to take a quick break. If you want to call in and ask any questions or have any comments, we invite you to do that now. The number is 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869, and we will be right back.
Some of us are not so lucky. Some very lucky. I researched and wrote the book, The Careless Driver, so that we as a nation could become lucky motorists. Motorists that don't hit animals, pedestrians, or other vehicles, ever. If there were no collisions, there would be no fatalities, no deaths on our highways and roadways. Please listen. You are invited.
Hello, it's Doc Indy here, your conscious life coach for women. As women, we're always taking care of everyone else, oftentimes to our own neglect. But I'm here to help you change that. I want you to go to mindfulhealthforwomen.com, that's with the number 4, so that you can book your free 30-minute coaching session, and we'll begin to address your mental, physical, and spiritual health. I look forward to speaking with you.
Are you a diva struggling with stress from your career or juggling the responsibilities of everyday life? You're invited to Renew Your Life Now. Join Lynn Owens in a transformational program and take your life back. Restore balance, boundaries, and nurturing into your life now. Go to allowspacenow.com and click on the Start Here tab or email Lynn at allowspacenow.com. That's Lynn at allowspacenow.com.
We're back to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and I have special guest Sue Matthews today. She's author of Paint Your Hair Blue, A Celebration of Life with Hope for Tomorrow in the Face of Pediatric Cancer. So, Sue, let's talk about your book. Why did you call your book Paint Your Hair Blue?
That's Taylor's spunk and personality right there. I realized at the moment she took her last shower, and I could hear the flow of the water, and I could imagine the suds cascading down. And I didn't think she realized. I didn't think at 11
she took her last shower.
I put the point.
And I could hear the flow of the water, and I could.
Something's happening with the sound. Hold on 1 second.
And I didn't think she realized. I didn't think at 11 she should.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry about that. I don't know what that was.
Anyway, I don't think she had put the dots together and realized at 11 years old that within days she was going to be bald. You usually lose your hair within 2 weeks of chemotherapy. And I was waiting for her. We were in the hospital, and I didn't dare to say, I couldn't imagine how I could say the words to my daughter, "You're going to lose your hair." And she came and snuggled with me, one towel wrapped around herself and one towel wrapped around her head. And I told her, and it was a rare moment of unconditional love shared between the two of us. Tears streamed down her eyes, and she just hugged me tighter. But then the next sentence was, okay, so I have 2 weeks to have fun with my hair. Let me cut it short. Let me spike it. Let me do blonde highlights. She would tell other children in the hospital, if you're a little girl, paint your hair pink. If you're a boy, cut it in a mohawk. Have fun with it. She actually lost her hair twice, mm-hmm. so she had a lot of fun. But her favorite color was blue. So in retrospect, we should have painted her hair blue.
I love that. And what a beautiful story. Aw, that's so pretty. So tell us about your book. Tell us about why you wrote it. Let's go with that first, one thing at a time.
It didn't actually start as a book. It started as me taking writing classes and journaling about my daughter's experience as part of my recovery. And then I realized after writing for 3 years, I had things to tell people. And in continuing my daughter's legacy of helping people, I wanted to put it out there. So it tells readers, it gives resources. There's a section of treatment tips of, in layman's terms, for anyone with cancer, parents with children with cancer, any chronic illness, or any caregiver, mm-hmm. of ways that they can help, you know, by getting, you know, different medical information. It certainly stresses getting second, third, fourth, fifth opinions, questioning your doctors. As you said earlier, mm-hmm. many people consider them authority. I think many people consider them almost like God. And Taylor had a 3-month
yes.
prognosis. If we had believed what her doctors told us and did not seek additional answers or question them, she would have lived a very short time, and she lived almost 5 years. So throughout
wow.
the book is advocate, advocate, advocate for your child. But the other side of the book, which people find so inspiring and empowering, is all her little, we call them the golden nuggets, all her little stories about what she did. Like, for instance, she didn't have an immune system at 12. And we were stuck in the house for 2 weeks. And I taught her how to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I didn't realize till I was writing the book that she drove for 4 years without insurance. But she challenged me. I said, you can only ride down the road, our road that we lived on. And we lived off mm-hmm. of a busy street. So she tried to turn mm-hmm. right onto the busy street. And I'm screaming, no way. This is the first time she's in a car. So she circled back to our house and roared down the street again and turned. I didn't know to close my eyes or open my eyes, but that was her, you know, she said, if a cop stops me, I'm bald, what are they going to do to me? You know, so it's inspiring. I mean, she really lived life. I was the kindergarten teacher that always had to have a plan of what to do next. And mm-hmm. if she were here today, she would also tell you she didn't suffer, which I believe she suffered tremendously with years of chemotherapy and 14 surgeries. But she took life that well. So people mm-hmm. who have cancer or know people that have cancer live life. That's the important part of this book. And she believed, and she taught me, I think in some other life, she maybe was my mother. She taught me by example that love is all you need. You know, 3 weeks before she died, she said to me, I said to her, why are you upset that you're not going to Sweet 16s and you're not going to school? Because she was tied to an oxygen tank. She said, Mommy, what do I have to be upset about? Everybody loves me.
Aww.
And that's the piece. That's the piece I take with me, you know, to survive living mm-hmm. without her.
Wow. So I think that, you know, just quickly, the fact that you taught her to drive and allowed her to do that, you have to take credit for that, too. How many mothers, you know, I'd be thinking the dangers, the crash, but you went along with her zest for life. You know, she was someone who was actually dying with such a zest for life, but you were a party to that. So I congratulate you for that, for having the courage, because it takes a lot of courage to let her do these things, because that's not what a typical mom would do. I don't
know. No, it wasn't. We were a force. We were a team. And that goes back to being authentic. I dared a policeman to stop me in my brain. Thank God no one ever did. And to say, what am I supposed to do with my child? The car is the only place that doesn't have germs. I can't take her out to a public place. You know, I had the whole scene created in my mind. But, you know, that's the way we lived life. You know, she did a lot of crazy things, but you can't let cancer stop your life. You cannot. And cancer is not definitely a death sentence. In most cases today, with the research today, it's curable.
Mm-hmm.
And why
right.
waste those years? Another thing I
exactly.
learned a lot, compartmentalized my fear. If she had scans every 3 months, I would not think about the scans for 2.5 months and only get worried sick 2 weeks before. Because you can't enjoy life
mm-hmm.
if you're worried the entire time. And she certainly didn't care at all about scans because she thought mommy and daddy would make her better no matter what.
Right. She had that faith. So I love that part about compartmentalizing. I've done that in my life too, and I never heard anybody talk about it. When something, there's nothing you can do about it, right? It's beyond your power. Just not let it bother you. Put it in a little box somewhere and let it sit there until it's time to look at it. Like you said, 2 weeks before the scan, there was no choice but to look at that and then worry about it. But that was very, very wise, and it allowed you to have joy in your life, you know, let that joy build up in your life in a time where most people wouldn't even begin to have joy. And that's a beautiful thing that you've brought forth, that you can have joy even in the midst of tragedy, that there's always those little pockets of joy, like you call them. Would you like to speak a little bit more to that?
You know, it couldn't be more true. We had joy in the midst of tragedy. A lot of it was because of her, of the way she acted. But I went along, like you said, with the driving. I went along with every plan, as did her friends and her sisters and everybody, you know, spurred her on.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I realized, and I did spend 2 years in bed after she died, and I decided I had to engage in life and come back to life for my other two daughters and my husband. My husband and I, losing a child makes your life unbearable. But my other girls have a chance for a normal life. And I did do that way. But I realized one thing that got me out of bed was such a strong realization that grief and joy can coexist. I no longer felt guilty about laughing. In fact, when I laugh, I feel like she's laughing with me. And in writing the book, during the sad times, I felt like she was pinching me, saying, Mommy, don't be sad. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And during the happy times, when I was writing about all the crazy things she did, she was laughing right alongside of me.
Right.
So,
wow.
You know, joy and tragedy and joy and grief can coexist. You can't put your life to all negative things. So much better to focus on the positive, focus on what you have rather than what you don't have.
So true, but it does take practice. It takes willpower to do that. It's like once you go down a negative path, our mind just wants to go there. And so tell us a little bit about how you know, move your mind, move your thoughts from, you know, the tragic to the more joyful.
Oh, it takes tremendous amount of practice. It takes a tremendous amount of effort. There's certainly not days when there's many days when I can't do this. I just try to do the majority of it. But every morning I get up and I meditate, even for 5 minutes. It's hard for me to meditate to keep my mind still. But I remember her. I remember scenes of her. I get my cry out for the day. And then I get up also every day knowing I'm going to help other children. But it's certainly difficult, and it's something that you have to train your mind to do. And very critically, you are hopefully surrounded by family and friends that are not negative, because they'll take you down a bad path. I mean, certainly everyone has a tragedy. No one gets a pass in life. I'm not saying life is all joyful. Certainly mine is not. But try to look at what's good, even though you have to go through the mechanisms of grief and loss, whatever it may be, a divorce, the loss of a child, the loss of a parent, whatever it is. You know, everybody gets something in life. But
that's
trying
so
to seek out the positive part, where it's hard. I mean, it's extremely difficult to think of something positive after you lose your daughter or after you lose your husband or anything like that nature. But I was lucky. She left me her legacy. which continues to help me live my life.
Yes, absolutely. She built a purpose there. She built the foundation. And like you say, you're helping other people, and that's just absolutely beautiful. So so tell us where we can get a hold of you and your book.
My book is in Barnes & Nobles across the East Coast and some other parts of the country. It's on Amazon, barnesandnoble.com, Books A Million. It's on any book site, so you can get it absolutely anywhere. And to read more about the book, and the other part of the book is I co-authored it with my sister, Andrea, who is absolutely the love of my life. She was an oops baby. Three of us were born together within 3 years, and then she was born 10 years later. So it's truly a love story between my sister and I as well. She's okay with me saying she was an oops baby. But so you can... I'm talking about where you can get my book, but you can find more history about my sister and myself and Taylor on www.paintyourhairblue.com. And you can find out about the foundation. The proceeds from the book will go to the foundation, which is taylormatthewsfoundation.org.
Okay, very good. And you can also find Sue on my website. I just go to my radio show page, and she's already there with a link to both the foundation and the book website. And that's lifecoachmari.com, lifecoachmari.com. Very good. So we're getting ready to wind down the show. Sue, is there one last thing that you'd like to say to a listener that's on your heart today?
Try to take everything I said. I know it's so cliche, but try to take everything I said. Even if you can do it for 10 minutes a day, celebrate your life. Try to take the stress out of your life. Live authentically, like, you know, what this show is about. It gives you so much freedom to be your own person. It gives you so much freedom to love. And it's a positive way of looking at life. And certainly there's a lot of things you can do to help yourself get in a more positive state of mind. Meditate, exercise, have a life coach. Do anything that's healing. For me, it was journaling, which turned into the book. Do anything that's healing so you can seek that ultimate goal. And if you can do it 5 minutes a day, stretch that out to 10 minutes a day. That was our strategy after she passed. I still can't book airline tickets in advance. I pay high fees because I don't book them till a month before, just because I don't want to think about booking an airline ticket for four people instead of five. So I procrastinate in that sense. But I made it through life thinking 5 minutes ahead, then an hour ahead. Now I can think a week ahead. So try to implement whatever you possibly can to make your life more positive. And those that you love will take your cue.
That's a beautiful message, Sue. And I think especially as we're going into the holiday season and people tend to want things to be perfect, you know, to have that Hallmark Christmas and that Hallmark life and everything is so perfect. And as they look at circumstances, you know, some people may have lost their jobs. Say they lost a partner or a child or a mother or whatever. Different losses. There's out here in California, people lost their homes to fires a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
but there's always
something.
There's always something to be thankful for, and that's what you're trying to say. There's always good in our lives. Always. There's something you can focus on. It takes tremendous willpower and tremendous focus, but it can be done. Very good. Well, thanks so much, Sue, for being on the show with me today. It's just been absolutely wonderful listening to you.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure. It's been my pleasure getting to know you as well. Off the air.
Same for me. And you're such a beautiful example of living life. And thank you for joining us today. We will be back there to be authentic next time. Make sure you listen in. Have a great day.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.